since we've been gone, Steve. What's been going on, mate?
Well, so much has happened, hasn't it, in the world, you know, politics and stuff. There's been an election and the like.
I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant, and our producer, I say producer, Carl Pilkington.
Alright.
Yeah, very good. We've been away for a while. I think the last show we did was January 2004.
Yeah, yeah.
And nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed whatsoever.
Nothing's been mended. I'm pretty sure I threw that away in the bin before I left.
Yeah, there are some of your old bacon rinds from that sandwich.
Yeah. The spare ribs on the floor. Yeah, yeah, nothing's changed at all. Oh, no, that's not true. The listenership changed. It went down slightly, didn't it, on the last radio?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Is that what happened? Did it go down slightly, Carl?
A little bit, I think.
I don't think everyone gets new listeners, because I think what happens is, the reason it goes down just very slightly each time is that their old listeners die.
Yeah.
You know, old Cure fans dying of...
Yeah, you know, smack addictions.
Gout. But anyway, well, I haven't listened to this station for a year and a half, so that's increased by one.
Yeah.
Which is probably quite a high percentage.
Exactly.
I suppose my
question, I suppose, to you, Rick, would be, you know, why now? Why have you come back now? You
know, bored of sitting at home, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're just here for 6 weeks.
6 weeks. Well, we're standing in for Adam and Joe, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah?
And the tables have turned. I remember when they were standing in for us, but...
But
the only reason I'm here is because my housekeeper cleans between 1 and 3.
Oh, right, that's a good idea.
So I thought I'd get out of the house.
And, Are they listening to XFM?
Well, no, she doesn't speak English. You know, okay. I'm not made of money, Rick. Okay. You know, if I can help out, you know, a young immigrant lady, then I will do. And there are so many things I can do for her, in
yeah.
so many ways.
Yeah.
But her, you know, picking up my old tea towels and stuff is ideal. So that's why I'm here. But I'm worried about is I think people kind of associate with the name Ricky Gervais, they associate a certain level of quality. You know, your live stand-up DVDs, there's a level of quality, you've put a lot of work into them, you've honed it. The TV work you've done, likewise.
Mm.
Should people expect the same from the radio show?
Definitely not.
No.
Definitely not. Those things that, you know, you sit down with, you know, we sit down, we write them for a long time, write them for a year maybe, then film them, we worry about everything. This is, I'm not even sure I'm talking into the mic at the moment. I was actually doodling, as you saw there.
Yeah.
I'm eating a sandwich as we speak.
Yeah.
You know, that. You know, if you, although we do like music, that is true.
That's absolutely right.
Should we play some great
let's
records?
Let's play a great record now.
U2, City of Blinding Light. I'll tell you what, I love U2 now.
Yeah.
I honestly hated them, sort of everything from Boy up to about, I think, Beautiful Day, when that came out. I thought, oh, that's all right. Listen to this album. I love them now, Steve. It's a turnaround, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's that kind of musical insight that I'm looking for throughout this show. Really.
I sound like Dr. Fox then, didn't I?
Some of your tastes and wants and needs.
Dr. Fox. What's happened to him? Is he off air now? Because that's one of the reasons I put no effort into this radio show, because, you know, we go to the Golden Globe the same month, we do nothing at the Sony, and Dr. Fox actually said, that's because you're not very good.
I like the fact that the Dr. Fox criticisms really hit you quite hard.
You know, you really took that to heart. Still talking about it a year later.
You know, you've got to let it go, Rick.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, he's a medical man, and...
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to believe him.
You've got just his opinion.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I could have done without the rectal examination. I think he could have just said... You're not very good.
Exactly.
Try and enunciate. No, I know what the problem is. Oh, let's have a look down here.
Exactly.
Carl had to... You had to, go to one of those, well clinics, didn't
no,
you?
No, I haven't gone.
Why?
Because I'm not happy with it.
What?
I'm not happy with the whole... Well, it's just... Do people know what them places are?
We'll give you
have
a whole...
Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I've had one, yeah. They check everything.
Which, you know, Suzanne, my girlfriend, was like, you know, you're 30-odd now. when was the last time you went to the doctors? And I haven't been for ages because I don't.
No, I never go. Doctors. I never go. Unless I think I'm honestly going to die there. I'm in agony.
Think like, they can always find something.
Jane made me go to one of those well things. Yeah, those yeah. boot things where they give it. It's yeah, cut around a quid and they give you a complete head to toe, don't they?
But head to bottom is what it is. They do the old finger up the arse thing.
Now, what is that testing for?
Well, I like that he said it quietly, because he's on the radio. You can't say arse.
Yeah.
Well, say it quietly. Say it quietly. Yeah, yeah. Arse. Yeah, arse. That's what our mistake was, because we got a complaint up, Hal, didn't we, for saying And I'm talking about a male chicken here, which is a cock, as you know.
Yeah,
and we said that word, right? So if we'd have gone, cock, we'd have probably gotten away with it.
You can get away with murder.
You just, yeah.
If you just whisper it very
so go on then, yeah, so.
Go on.
So yeah, no, I just, I'm not going because I'm not having that done. I don't understand what you're going to find up there. That's.
Your head?
No, why can't you just, I mean, it's the heart that I worry about the most.
You mean that in a kind of romantic sense?
No, I mean like, you know...
They would have to have a long finger, wouldn't they, to check that out. They go, is something wrong with your left ventricle? Yeah.
Now, this thing about the doctors, they hold your testicles and they make you cough.
Yeah, they don't hold the testicles anymore. They just put it sort of like by the side of them.
And what's that testing for?
I don't know. I think it's something to do with, if you've got something wrong with your diaphragm or something like that, you can't do it when they press there. I don't know. It shows them something.
So you
it's not doctors having a quick feel.
But so you can.
Well, that's good because do you remember when Carl said he's going to die of cancer, and I said why? He said I don't check my balls. I said why? He said I don't like the feel. So they feel it for you. They feel them for you, and you can just relax, shut your eyes, and think of England.
But don't mess with them.
What do you mean?
You can do more damage messing about with them. Just leave them. Two anyway. You can afford to lose one.
Yeah, I don't think that's the point. I think the point is it sort of spreads, doesn't it? You know, you've got to check the.
No, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, if don't do it because they spend a lot of money saying to people, you know, have a quick feel if you've got the time, what have you. But I don't worry about it. Leave it. Leave it alone.
Why, out of interest, why do doctors stick fingers up your arse?
Check the prostate.
Check the prostate?
Yeah, because if it's swollen, it could lead to all sorts of problems. Again, they're not having a laugh, Carl. They're not going, hang on, look at this bald little mank fella.
But there's no nice way.
I'll feel his balls, stick a finger up his arse and send him home. 300 quid, please, on you go. What about me art? It's fine. And Roger, they're all laughing.
Roger, Jeff, stand behind that two-way mirror.
Yeah. What's this?
I'm not going anyway.
So. Really, you're not going because you don't want...
No, I'm not happy with that. It doesn't even matter. It's not the fact he's a stranger. If it was someone who I knew, it'd be just as bad.
That'd be worse! Imagine that! At a dinner party. Oh, God. Oh, look, hello, Roger and Selena. Do you mind? Roger, do you mind?
Would you allow any of the celebrity doctors to do it, though? Dr. Dre, Dr. Fox, Fox,
any of those.
Dr. Who.
I just don't understand in this day and age.
Would you allow Christopher Eccleston to stick his big northern finger up?
Got a song on, anyway.
What? Beanie Siegel. I love this track.
Oh, it's very urban for you, Rick.
Beanie Siegel, Feel It In The Air. Beautiful track, isn't it?
Well, it's wonderful. On a lovely summer's day like this as well, Rick. It's the ideal choice. Well done on that one.
Well, I'm a little bit worried that if there are any new listeners, very unlikely, that they may not, you know, be familiar with our work, but they might not know the wonderful little gem that we found just there. A little rough diamond in the mud.
Yeah.
Carl Pilkington.
Yeah.
Just working here, just working away as a little producer, a little sound man.
A drone.
Yeah. And we gave him his opportunity, didn't we?
Mm.
It's like Cinderella, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he grasped that opportunity, didn't you, by the horns? And 3 years later, you're exactly where you started. So, good work.
Got Mondays off now.
Well, I thought maybe a useful way of introducing the mind of Carl Pilkington to our new audience.
You use that term loosely.
Yeah, when I say mind, I don't... Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought
look at his face!
Oh. There is a website. Have you got the website?
Oh, there's a website that we just found. Right, Carl, what is the address?
If you are unfamiliar with what Carl looks like...
Please log on to this now.
Log on to this website and stay tuned, but log on to the website because you'll see Carl's face, you'll see some of his pearls of wisdom.
Yeah, now what's the address, Carl?
Freewebs.com.
www.freewebs.com. Freewebs.com.
/.
Yeah.
The-K-man. /.
The K-man. It's complicated.
It is, yeah.
Do it again. Say it again. But get a pencil now. They've all got a pencil now.
Freewebs.com.
One word. Yeah.
/the-K-man. /.
Now, when you say dash, is it a dash or
is it
an
middle,
underscore?
Is it underscore? Is it in the middle of the word? Or is it hovering in the middle of the word? Or is it at the bottom?
It's just a line and that.
Yeah, I know, but is it an underscore or is it a dash?
Try both.
He covered it down.
Have a go.
That's the sort of level we're talking about.
But already you've got some insight into the mind of Carl Pilkington.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But I thought what we should do is we could hijack.
Imagine that! Imagine Bill Gates!
Yeah, or a teacher. In an exam. Pop down both.
Multiple choice!
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, okay.
But anyway, yeah, if you're a reader of the Weekend Guardian, you'll know there's this thing called the Q&A, which they give to celebrities and thinkers and the like.
Mm.
And basically, it's a series of questions they pose to people each week, and it's the same questions, and it gives little insight into people's minds, the way they think.
So what thinker philosopher is in this week's?
It's the lead singer of Feeder. So, you're in good company, Carl.
No, I like Feeder.
No, fine.
I love Feeder.
So, Carl, I'm just going to fire a couple of these questions at you. We'll maybe drop them in throughout the course of the show, just to try and get a sense of who you are. So, here's the first question. All right, you got your thinking head on?
Go on.
You weasel.
What is your idea of perfect happiness?
What, for me, or...?
Already?
No, Ronnie Corbett.
No, but what... Do you mean, like, what will make me happy, or for everyone to be happy?
No, what would make you happy? Maybe that's the answer. Your idea of perfect happiness is everyone being happy. I don't know. What would make you totally
unlikely? Unlikely, but I imagine it's a 24-hour monkey channel on, like, the sky.
Yeah! Okay, go on. A never-ending popsicle. Go on.
I don't think I've had it yet where I'm, like, really, really happy with anything.
Carl, I've never seen you really happy, no.
No, but,
when have you been at your happiest?
Probably, I like sort of fish fingers, potato cakes, and beans for tea.
Yeah. And you're not.
Right, well, let's move on. We'll come back to that one.
I don't think you're aiming high enough for.
Well, what would your answer be for that? When are you happy? What would make you happy?
I wouldn't have the. I'd have fish fingers, but I probably wouldn't have the potato cakes.
Yeah.
I'd have fish fingers and beans.
Sounds like a huge fan of the beans.
Really? So your idea of. Perfect happiness is probably just fish fingers,
just
is it?
Just fish fingers.
Okay, good.
Alright, second question. What is your greatest fear, Carl?
Going to the doctors.
Okay. So presumably, ill health and mortality. That's how you do it, you see. Any particular doctor?
I don't want to live forever, either.
No,
I just want
to
live innings. I just want to get to about 80, 83, 84.
So specific! Yeah, okay.
Which living person do you most admire? Which person throughout any time in history do you most admire?
Winston Churchill is pretty good.
You like
him? Yeah, very good.
Why?
Good answer.
Because if it weren't for him, we'd be talking German. I'm not that good at that. So.
He's not that good at that. I love the fact that even if the Nazis had won, right, in 1945, and we'd be now speaking German, he still wouldn't be that good at it. Although he's not good at English, so I suppose that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
All right, well, here's the final one for now. Do you believe in capital punishment?
That's not it in Dr. Fox over the head with a stick.
Depends what for, doesn't it?
Go on.
Oh, if it's something bad. And,
I assume it would be. they don't kill people now for parking illegally.
But what sort of thing are you talking about? What sort of punishment?
Capital punishment.
Yeah, I know, but what is that? What are you talking about?
Well, guillotine, hanging.
Hanging's a bit bad.
Yeah.
Can
be fatal, can't it? What do you mean hanging's a bit bad?
It's
all bad. Why should the state kill someone?
Because prisons are getting a bit busy, aren't they?
Brilliant. Okay.
What's the point in keeping them, people around?
Well, what's the point in killing them?
Just because it's like, right, that's that done, who's next? Do you know what I mean? What can you do with someone if they're mental?
Employ them on a radio show!
Next question.
Play a record, okay. We'll come back to the questions.
What do you want, what have you got in here?
Rick, I know you're a massive fan of the Thorns.
Yeah,
but maybe you're less familiar with the different elements of the Thorns solo work.
No,
it's a track from Matthew Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
XFM 104.9, Matthew Sweet, and a song called In My Time, Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington.
That was great, that.
Yeah, just asking Carl some of these Q&A questions.
This might be my idea of perfect happiness, being in a room with Carl Pilkington.
Yeah.
I just watch him look around. When you're talking, he looks at you, and it's like, you know when the owners say, it's like the cat can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like he's on the edge of that. He's on the edge of that. You think he can. And I know he understands the words, but I don't think he understands the full impact. Whenever you say something to him, it might be some, you know, a revelation or something. He always picks up on the wrong side. You know, well, that's not the important bit. Do you know what I mean? He always goes.
It's a bit like having a 14-year-old French exchange student. You know, their English is not amazing. They roughly understand you, but they're trying to piece together what you're saying.
Exactly. But it's great. You see, the thing about Carl is, and don't take this the wrong way, I like him because he's stupid, in a way. No, I'm not being funny, but do you know what I mean? But even though I think he is considered stupid, some of the things he says, I think borders on the, I don't know what the PC term is, the retarded. Do you know what I mean, Carl?
Anything in particular you're thinking of there, when you think of
he was talking to me the other day, because I'm trying to write a show called Science, and he's sort of going to help me out with some of the research, and I want him to do some on the DVD for it, right? And, He was talking about it, and he was talking about, he says that in the future, they reckon we'll be able to, soon, he said, they'll be able to take us into space, and it's going to cost us £150,000. He said, what's the point? There's nothing up there. He said, when they went up there, right, he said, when Louis Armstrong went, in 1966, right, he said, it was nothing there. So there was him, a fella called Buzz, there was one and third bloke that didn't even get out of the spaceship. He said he went all that way, he didn't get out to stretch his legs. How good can it be? Forget it. That's him summing up space exploration.
Don't you agree with that? What's the point in going up there?
Because you're
Are we talking about the finger in the arse again here? Or it's space?
What is the point in going
to... Because you're expanding, you know, human endeavour, aren't you? And the human understanding of the world and the universe. It's like, what else are we going to do as a civilization, as a people, if we're not constantly searching and, you know, and reaching out into the far distance?
But there's nothing there, though.
I know some people you grew up with that haven't left their street, but that's not everyone.
But what is it? What do you mean there's nothing there? What has got to be there for it to be a worthwhile? Like,
just something.
What,
I mean,
like,
to be honest,
what would you be happy with finding out on the moon?
What, video?
Just something. I don't think they looked hard enough anyway when they got there, because they seemed to get out, have a bit of a dance about, and then they came straight back. And I sort of think, you know, did they look properly?
It's not a day trip, is it?
But what I mean is...
But they took that car out there, didn't they, and drove around a bit?
Yeah, but only a little bit. What I mean is, say if an alien landed in Africa, there's not much there, so they'd go...
What do you mean there's not much there?
Well, it's a bit barren, isn't it?
What, Africa? Just in general?
Well, so anywhere like that, desert or whatever, what I'm saying is,
it's got
have a good look round.
Probably where all life came from, and probably half a million species of animals live there.
Buildings and that, and stuff.
Oh, buildings.
Well, just stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, did they look properly? Or did they just land, get out, go, oh, bit dusty, whatever. Right, let's go back. I just think it's a bit pointless. Especially when we haven't done everything there is to do here.
Go on.
Well, I don't know, but I'm sure there is stuff that needs sorting out.
Well, I know the place that there's no medical man has been in this room.
Yeah.
There's definitely an unexplored cavern sitting right in front.
All right, Steve, would you go to the moon if someone said there's a space?
He doesn't mosh at a concert because he's scared his glasses to fall off. Of course he wouldn't go to the moon. They'd spin him round in training, his glasses would come off, and that'd be it. He'd feel sick.
My worry is I'm not sure I'd have to, because would I be able to wear him under the helmet?
Imagine him!
Like, I went paintballing once, and I had to wear the glasses underneath the mask, and of course it was a bit hot weather, it was all steamed up in there. So I couldn't see anything, I got shot straight away, I was out of the game, it was pointless. You know, it cost me like £8.
Yeah.
You don't have to be out of fit anyway, do you? You're only sort of sat there.
Well, not well. Yeah, but what are you talking about? Think of G-force alone and weightlessness. Of course, you've got to be what?
Yeah. I think when you said think of G-force, he thought of G4, the follow-up winners in Pop Idol. I can see it as his eyes glazed over. A couple more quick questions for you, Carl. Just try and get inside your mind. What do you? What is your greatest regret?
Probably. I didn't do that well at school, did I? So I'm trying to, like, learn stuff now.
Yeah.
Not mentally, but... You know.
He reckons he's learned more in the last 3 months than he ever has in the rest of his life, reading a couple of science books I gave him.
Well, that's impressive. We'll test you on that later on.
Yeah.
What keeps you awake at night?
Well, I live in sort of central London, don't I? So it's
brilliant.
Traffic and that. I think they were thinking more.
More. What fears have you got? What worries? Do you ponder the expansion of the universe? Do you worry about
it? There's no point, is there? Because there's nothing I can do about it.
So with you, it's the little Chinese fellow across the road.
Just stuff that I've got to sort out. You know, any bills or anything. I don't worry about the world ending or anything. What's the point in that?
It's true.
I can't do anything about it. I always think that people with more sort of intelligence have the world on their shoulders, because they're worrying about stuff that's miles away. Whereas I'm like, you know, I'm happy if the sun's out. It's like, oh, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
I don't worry about wars and stuff going on, because there's nothing I can do.
What would you do if there was a war that maybe there was?
What, here?
Yeah.
Go on holiday.
Play a record, Tom.
The Who. I mean, that's got to be one of the best rock tracks ever, hasn't it?
Oh, there's no argument.
Did I sound like Dr. Fox again?
A little bit. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. We're going to get a Sony Award this year. Carl, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm alright,
yeah. It's good to be back, isn't it?
We're doing Rockbusters in a bit, what?
Have we got Rockbusters?
Well.
Hallelujah!
I'll tell you this, new listeners. The new listeners won't believe their luck when they hear Rockbusters.
We've got Rockbusters. Have we got, well, dare I say it, have we got Monkey News, Carl?
Well, I've been away, haven't I? So, I've sort of got a few things that I've read about roughly, but I don't know the full ins and outs.
You're joking, because usually you do your research quite well, don't you, when you get off Ann and over and read the top line.
So what are you saying, though? Are you saying that it's kind of Monkey News?
We might have time to do something later.
We've got to have him.
I love it when he teases us with his Monkey News.
We've had emails about that website address.
Oh, yeah.
It was a what's her name?
An underscore. Okay. Give it out one more time. Go to this to find out about Carl Pilkington. Someone's put in a lot of effort. It's a really good website. There's some great pictures of Carl.
Well, they're not great. They're just, freewebs.com/the_k_man/.
Okay, /s all the way.
Yeah.
Except the underscores.
Except the underscores, yeah.
This is interminable. Isn't it interminable, giving out email addresses?
I know, yeah.
Rubbish, it's so boring.
No, yeah. Oh, dear. Is he enjoying the show?
Just says, I love spending 2 hours on a Saturday listening about fingers up arses, doctors squeezing testicles and making you cough. Have you got any news on the airy Chinese kid? So...
Well, when you say it like that, some of the stuff we cover, it does sound a little bit of, you know, drivel.
Well,
sometimes.
Yeah.
Carl was worried about swearing, because we were talking about finger arse and that. He's generally worried. And I don't have a problem with swearing, although I understand why you can't say certain words on radio. It might be offensive if you aren't listening. I mean, you know, the F word, the C word and all those. But when they bleep it out in a record, they bleep out the vowel.
Mm.
So in the F word, they bleep out the U, so it goes, beep, right? What? So they go, it's not offensive, I didn't hear the vowel.
Presumably, yeah.
So if you change the vowel, it's not... Do you know what I mean? So, in the C word, could I say... could I talk about the philosopher Immanuel Kant?
Well, you can talk about Immanuel Kant because he's one of the great thinkers of all time.
So Kant is not an offensive word because the vowel is different,
okay.
Is it?
Leave it then.
No, do you know what I mean, though?
But I don't see how it can be offensive.
You can't. It can't be. Is it a thinker who's a philosopher? His name is name is Kant. That is his actual name.
Yeah.
I think it comes from a long line of... Kant's from what I can... Oh, he hasn't changed his name. I think his father, his grandfather...
Like German people...
Oh, Germany's, I assume, full of Kant's.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
What else were
so there? So, can you change the vowel? So,
probably not.
What if I changed two words? What if I said cump? C-U-M-P. Now, that's not offensive at all, is it?
That can't be offensive.
So, I could say, you fulking cump.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I need a schnit. That'll be fun.
Wonka, Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a good one.
Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Willy. Is Willy offensive? Could you say Willy?
It's tricky.
Willy Wonka and his... Willy Wonka and his falcon cumps.
Yeah.
That'll be fine.
That'll be absolutely fine.
Is that alright then, Carl?
Any other questions or anything, Steve?
I not so much a question, but something that I think might be of interest to you, Carl. I was reading about this in the paper, and I know how fascinated you are by people of the Japanese persuasion. Two elderly men found on a remote island are believed to be Japanese soldiers in hiding since 1945, desperate to go home. Diplomats from Tokyo are investigating the claims of these men, who are 87 and 83.
What? What? What are you thinking there?
Well, no, go on.
I know what you're thinking. Go on. Say what you're thinking.
I'll be that old, though.
Why? Why? Say why.
I don't want to. Just leave it.
Carl's got a theory. Well, I don't think this is fine. I'd say that Carl's views don't reflect the views of XFM, right? Carl's got a theory that Oriental people don't age well.
Sure. Let Carl.
But that annoys me the way. Yeah, but I think people will probably agree with me. But for some reason, the first time I said that, I wasn't even worried about it. But now, because of the reaction of people, I don't understand. I don't know why I can't say that.
What's your theory? Explain your theory in a nutshell.
Just that you don't see a 33-year-old Chinese person. but at the same time...
I'm not having a go.
At the same time, you don't see that many fat ones either. So, in a way, that's good news. Nobody would be upset about that.
But what do you mean?
But your news isn't bad news, because it's not true.
But wait, stop. What do you mean you don't see a 33-year-old Chinese person? I don't understand. What do you mean you don't see them? What do you see then?
Sort of, young ones. And then, you don't see that middle ground.
I don't know what this theory's based on!
So you see old ones and you see young ones, but you never see any in between?
Yeah.
What do you mean? So what's the oldest... What's the oldest Chinese person you've seen before the age of 33? How old do you think?
About 22.
22. So you've seen lots of 22-year-olds. So you've seen a range from babies to 22-year-old Chinese people. That's fact, okay? And then what gap do you miss out? When do they pop back up on the radar for you? What age has a Chinese person got to be older than that?
About 49.
They're so specific. What do you mean? When you say they don't age well, what do you mean they don't age well? You mean that middle-aged ones look old?
Because you think at 23, when they're 23, happy birthday to you. And they look up, and, oh, jeez, it's 52. What do you mean?
No, I just mean they don't age that well. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know what it is in them, but they just don't... Alright then, here's a question. You tell me of a Chinese person on the telly who's about 32.
Tell me of a Chinese person on the telly first. Give us the great gamut of Chinese talent currently on British TV. Right, and I'll pick and choose. Go on then.
Bruce Lee.
How long has he been dead, Bruce Lee? 70s, wasn't it? And not really on the telly much, was he? Okay.
What age was he when he died?
33, I think.
Well, I wouldn't have never guessed that.
Well, what do you think? How old do you think he was?
Probably about 42.
What, you know Bert Kwok?
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah. Do you remember the Pink Panther films?
No.
Okay. He wasn't that old in them, because it was 60s, 70s.
But how old did he look, though? If he walked in and someone said, you never guess how old he is, what would you have said? Right then, there's my point.
I have to say, I've been listening to you two talk, and I like the idea that there's people who've been waiting 18 months for some of this. for the Kant discussion, the Orientals.
Do you know what I think? I think Kant, as a philosopher, is very popular in Essex. Because I hear him saying his name all the time, oh, whenever I go through... What? They're all shouting this and that.
Kings of Leon on XFM.
Carl.
Each of HD Merchant, Carl Pilkington. Carl! Dead air!
Talk!
Oh, I'm just looking at it now.
Yeah, but that's no good on radio! You can't just look at something! You've got to talk!
Is he even more backward than I remember?
I don't know!
It's just that someone's emailed in.
Yeah, so you've got to tell the listeners that!
I'm telling them now, I'm doing it! Someone's emailed in from Tokyo, saying that he's getting married in a few months to a Japanese woman. She's 27. Just want to know how long I've got so she starts looking old.
Well, how long do you reckon, according to your theory?
About 27... Probably about 4 years. About 4 years and that. So...
What would you advise him? To get out now, or...?
Well... Have some good, sort of, wedding pictures done and that.
Carl! It's not true! The theory's not true!
Well, we'll see, won't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, great. In 4 years' time, he's going to send a picture going, oh, you're right, Carl. Look, she looks like a prune. What? He's going to suddenly start saying his girl... It's not true, it's not going to happen.
It's that thing, though, innit, of looking at her mam. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there, that you shouldn't really meet up with your girlfriend's sort of parents and that.
Sure.
Because you just sort of get a little taster of what's to come and what have you.
Then what's to come with yours?
It's a good job he didn't meet her early on. No.
You're going to be in such trouble!
No, they don't listen. It's all right.
Really? Well, Suzanne does, doesn't she?
She'll probably be out.
Really?
But she knows.
She's got some sense.
When you get back! Yeah. You went on holiday with them, didn't you?
Yeah, we've been on since then, haven't we?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I went on holiday last week, been away. But that was just me and Suzanne. Talk about that later.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's coming up.
Plus, of course, Rockbusters, the return of Rockbusters.
Let's start Rockbusters. Let's do Rockbusters. Let's get it rolling. Because I have got some amazing prizes. I went to the Americas and I brought back gifts. Not your tobacco and your potatoes, but brilliant prizes. Now, quite seriously, these are not the usual tat. You will win some tat for Rockbusters, okay? We've got DVDs, CDs, things like that, right? But the winner of Rockbusters today will go through to a chance to win the prizes in week six. We're only here for 6 weeks, by the way. This is our first of six shows.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. And I went to do The Simpsons last weekend, and I've got a drawing here, an original drawing of Homer by Matt Groening. See that? Look at that. As Homer there, your pal Matt Groening, May the 18th, 2005. And Homer's saying, I love Carl because he's stupid like me. And that's going to be framed, original drawing. That is worth, I think, a lot, but I promised Matt Groening that it will not go on eBay. So please, I hope it goes to a fan. I've also got a rare Spinal Tap poster. Met with Christopher Guest, and he signed that, Nigel Tufnell. Fans of Spinal Tap and The Simpsons, possibly the two greatest things ever,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
My friend Rob, who did Flannels with me, has drawn us three as Flannimals. There's Steve there, a little goggle anchor. There's me there, a little bloke dumplant, and little Carl Pilkington, Pink Floyd numbscrunt. And these are going to be framed. So some very nice prizes. And I've got a little surprise for you. Obviously, I met Homer. Press that little button there. Listen to this.
Hi, this is Homer Simpson. I like Carl and his perfectly round, bald head. If you put three holes in it, it looks just like my bowling ball.
Brilliant.
Actual proof that you've met the people themselves, that the prizes are bona fide and genuine. But don't enter this week's Rockbusters thinking you're going to win those prizes automatically.
No.
This week you just win the usual tat.
What is the tat, Steve?
Well, we'll talk about that shortly.
Okay.
But you go forward
for.
To the big showdown, the big final competition in week six, where you get the chance to win those.
All
quite
one person wins
prizes.
All those beautiful
so just everyone
collectible
the
prizes. Yeah, everyone. Yeah, the winners of each week go into the draw. What is Rockbusters, Carl? We've whet their appetite.
I think play a record and maybe some wonderful adverts and then come back with Rockbusters. It's that kind of teasing that has made this a potential award-winning show.
Bronze, I think, next year.
Can we just swap that round and do ads and the song?
Whatever way suits you, mate. Go on. XFM 104.9, Magic Numbers, Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington.
Well, I'm a little bit worried. I've just got to warn the listener. If we suddenly just go off air, right... It's because champagne is pouring down a hole where there's loads of wires into the desk. Because Steve...
Yeah.
Getting ready to open this champagne, right, just took that wire thing off, just put it there, of course because it's warm, it just exploded everywhere.
Yeah, I should explain now, I didn't bring in champagne to toast our return to the radio, I mean, I'm not an idiot, but actually, from Focus PR, Ashley has rather nicely sent us some Lindauer sparkling wine, and I'm just trying some, and it's really quite refreshing on this summer's day. So if you're perhaps working for some kind of PR agency, you know, or any kind of company, and you want to send us stuff which you want us to shamelessly promote on air, then feel free to do that.
So you're just looking for free stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, electrical goods,
Okay, it's not just like champagne
definitely
stuff.
Not.
Because I was going to say, if other champagne companies, what's that champagne company called? They sent us free.
Lindauer sparkling wine, which I imagine is available now.
Yeah, so other champagne companies feeling jealous could send you some, and you'd mention it.
I don't want to exclude anyone from this. You know, anyone is welcome to send anything in.
Brilliant.
And as I say, I'm particularly interested in sort of designer goods.
Okay.
You know, the Apple Mac people, they're welcome to send anything in.
Now, what's annoying about that champagne opening like that is that, as you know, I've brought my camera in. And I wanted to film you opening that onto Carl's head. Got the cork.
Rick, I got another bottle.
Have you ever?
I don't want you to miss out on a opportunity like that.
That's a bit of a waste of champagne, opening two bottles. But Carl, would you mind? Because that would have made a cracking noise against your head, that cork going off. And because it's such a lovely, bald little sort of dome.
Yeah.
We'll put your head right down, yeah? It'll open it, we'll see what the cork does, and I'll film it for, like a website or something.
Maybe we'll make that the finale of today's show.
That'd be great. Yeah. Okay.
Sponsored by Lindauer Sparkling Wine.
Oh, yeah. The sound of a cracking cork against Carl's skull. Sponsored by Lindauer.
Sponsored by Lindauer. Available now.
Great.
Right, we're doing Rockbusters then.
Oh, okay. Now, you should explain briefly what the concept is, Carl, because there might be a few new listeners.
It's Blockbusters. Right, go on then.
Well, it's not Blockbusters.
No, because they were real clues, weren't they?
Yeah, that was actually...
He says they're a cryptic clue. It's not cryptic. Well, what am I thinking? This competition is like, what number am I thinking of?
Rick, just calm down for a second. Let me explain basically what the concept is. You'll remember some of the greats from the past.
Yeah.
Basically, you give some vague clue. Is that right, Carl? And from that, we're supposed to deduct which band or artist you're thinking of. So, for instance, there was one.
The West Indian fella spinning a fish round his head. And that was... Detroit Spinners.
The Trout Spinners.
Yeah, Detroit Spinners. Yeah.
There's also what happens if you fall over into a puddle in Texas, wet knee Houston.
That is the level of Carl's.
That's what you're
clues.
Working with.
But could I just say, there's no irony in this. Carl doesn't think this is quirky or kitsch or ironic. He thinks these could go on the Guardian crossword.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
This is the best I've even come up with.
Yeah.
Right, so there's three of them. Right, yeah. I give you the cryptic clue to help you along, well, it is.
Yeah,
and
really.
I give you some initials of the band or the artist or whatever to help you along as well.
Yeah.
Three of them.
This is on the text only, we don't want emails on this one.
It's the one that gets the highest or the first one to get three. The first email with three or the first one that is the highest. So if no one gets the third one, which I wouldn't blame you for, so if there's like 30 people that get two, it's the first email that comes in that we pick, and they win a handful of tat, which would you like to go through?
I'll search out the tat in a second, I'm not sure where it is yet. There's some DVDs and stuff in there, it's not bad, yeah, but it means you go forward to the grand final in 6 weeks' time when you're playing for all that amazing stuff Ricky's got. We've got the signed, genuine exclusive drawing of Homer Simpson done by Matt Groening, featuring references to Carl. We've got the signed Spinal Tap poster. This is big stuff you can't get anywhere else.
No, it's a rare American poster signed by Nigel Tufnell.
And it's such a shame that your only chance of winning it is with this inane quiz.
Absolutely. It's not down to skill or anything. It's just such a shame that...
Let's just do it then.
Go on then.
Right. The first one.
Go on.
What you got to remember is it's a band or an artist that XFM play as well, right? Right then, so the first one...
Oh yeah, because X-Men play the Detroit Spinners and Whitney Houston all the time, don't they?
Alright, these three.
Okay.
Giving it away, but these are X-Men bands.
Okay, yeah.
Right, if you got like a ball...
Oh, Jesus. I just did... you don't think about the cryptic clue, is that every syllable counts. He says it different, every time he says it, there'll be somewhere different. Look, go on then.
Right, so if you get a bulb, right...
A
bulb.
A bulb.
What's a bulb?
What's a bulb?
Like
a light bulb.
A light bulb. Oh, a light bulb.
So
okay,
you get
a
bulb.
You get a bulb. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
He's gone. Right, go on.
So you get a bulb. Right.
A bulb, yeah. Have you got something in your throat? What are you doing? Are you eating a gobstopper? What are you doing?
I'm going to play a song then.
No, come on! get the clue, for goodness sake.
So the cryptic clue is, so, if you get a bulb... Right, so...
That's the beginning. Okay, great.
Right. If you get a saw, then right. If you get a bulb, like, go on.
And you look after it, right? You look after that bulb.
Mm.
And you teach it stuff.
Jesus
and all that.
Christ.
What are you doing there? Do you know what I mean?
This is extraordinary. This is extraordinary.
Imagine that written down in the Telegraph.
He's had 18 months to get this.
That's not a clue. That's an essay.
I don't know what it is.
It's a conversation with yourself.
A light bulb? A bulb like you plant in the garden? What kind of bulb does he mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Oh, okay.
Like you get a bulb.
Well, remember that. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay? It doesn't matter.
It does, but I can't say too much. Right, so listen, let me just say it again. You get a bulb, right?
Yeah.
When it's young, you look after that bulb.
Yeah.
You teach it stuff and what have you. What have you done there? What's gone on?
Brilliant!
And what are the initials of the band?
R. Right?
R.
R for rabbit. Right? So what's the band there? Second one.
Jesus.
People have a problem doing this when they get home from like a night out drinking. Right? What's the problem they've got? Right? The initial there, K. What's the band? Right? People get in from having a night out, they'll have a problem doing this. What is it? What's the problem?
Okay. And clue number three?
I had a vision of that Chinese flu. Right? That's C. I had a vision of that Chinese flu.
You had a vision of that Chinese flu.
Yeah,
and that's
the band
letter
C. Right, so three bands there, three cryptic clues.
Not really.
Text in 83XFM. Just send the three band names. That'll do, won't it?
Can they do a website as well?
If they want, they can email in.
Well, tell them what it is.
Yeah, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk. Just send it in there.
Give them again quickly then, Carl.
Right then, so get a bulb when it's young and that. Look
brilliant.
After it.
Different. Totally different.
It. Teach it stuff.
Yeah.
And all that.
Okay.
Ah, what's the band, right?
Yeah.
Second one, people have a problem doing this when they get home late at night. You know, they've been out drinking and that, they get home, what problem are they going to have? K is the initial. Third one, I had a vision of that Chinese flu. What do I mean?
Brilliant.
C is the initial.
Play a record. I mean, it's an abomination. Right, go. Embrace, glorious day on XFM 104.9.
Rick, there may be listeners tuning in thinking they've got something better to do, for instance, switching off the radio and just staring blankly at the wall for the next half an hour. But
yeah.
No, because what they're going to miss is our grand finale
to
this, which is, of course,
sponsored by
Lindauer's, the sparkling wine solution to a hot summer's day.
Yeah.
That we're going to be firing a cork.
Did you just make that?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Good.
They're going to be firing a cork at Carl's head, just for the sound.
I just think it's sound. Huh?
It's not happening.
Yes, it is. You said, no, we've said it is now.
We've promised it to the listeners.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not happy with it.
Why? Because the pain?
Well, I've never had it done, so I don't know how painful it is.
Well, what reason to do it then?
Yeah, we've got to try it out, haven't you? You're perfect. It's like a little cowbell, a wood block. It's that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for pop. Like, and I'm going to film it for my website.
Brilliant.
So go to that this week, rickygervais.com, and see Carl Pilkington getting hit. A high-powered cork coming out of, Lindauer sparkling wine.
Lindauer sparkling wine. And of course, if you want to send us anything in, and perhaps next week, that you feel we could, that'd be great.
This is like interactive, because a lot of people plan the show, like Dr. Fox plans his show. We sort of come up, we riff on the, that's a great idea. Send stuff in that we could harm Carl with.
Yeah, we can.
Harm Carl. We do a jingle. Harm Carl.
I've always wanted one of those George Foreman grills.
I've always
wanted one of them.
I know, but that's too much, isn't it?
What if we just pressed his head inside it? We'd have to put it on.
See.
Just squeeze his head inside it.
I've got to do that thing with a tea towel one day. You know that thing I did with a tea towel? You put a tea towel around his head, right, tie it. I put a wooden spoon in, and you only have to turn it like a couple of inches, and it kills you, doesn't it?
It hurts, yeah.
It really is, yeah. So we'll be firing a cork at Carl's head. I'll be filming it for the website.
So that's coming up about 10 to 3. Look forward to that.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm loving this. This is my... just being in a room with him, I just can't... I want to squeeze his head all the time.
If you're a fan of imbeciles and idiots...
Yeah.
You're missing out if you're not watching Celebrity Love Island.
I watched about 30 seconds of it, and I hate them. Just desperate idiots and slappers. I actually... angers me.
I switched on Celebrity Love Island. The first thing I thought is, where's a tsunami when you need one? but seriously, there's a guy on there, Paul Dunan, ex of Hollyoaks, and he's an absolute joy, because like Carl, he's an absolute simpleton.
Oh, really?
And he's fantastic, and he was on one week, and he was talking about how he fancied Lady Isabella Harvey.
Oh, yeah.
And he said to her, thing is, right, I really fancy her because she don't like reading books, and I don't like reading books.
Oh, they've got something in common!
But I have the idea that, that he's attracted to someone for something they don't do.
I know.
I've never killed a kid. She's never killed a kid. We can never get
married. What about sleep around? That would be a good thing to be attracted to someone for. They are just, honestly, and Big Brother's the same.
Is it?
Just a load of ropey old...
cats.
Yeah, I know, just like a horrible, cellulite-lighted, wobbly, rice-arsed, fat-titted tarts and idiots and show-offs. And they all disgust me for a different reason.
Mm.
I don't know which one to hate most and why. They all give me a couple of reasons to hate
them.
That's
what the nomination should be.
Yeah.
You know, nominate who do you hate the most. Because I thought I was going to switch on and find that actually, you know, people like Abby Titmus and Rebecca Lewes had been misrepresented by the press.
Oh, what, the one that wanked off a pig in public?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah. Was that, did you say wonked off?
I said wonked off a pog. Wonked off a pog. Yeah. That's great, isn't it?
But, I mean,
amazing, Rebecca. I mean, don't even get me started on Abby Titmus.
I like the idea of her parents perhaps going to, you know, some kind of, you know, someone's birthday or whatever, meeting some old friends who've probably been away living in another country.
Yeah.
How's young Abby? Is she still a nurse saving lives? No, she gets her tits out for a living now.
Oh, I don't panic. Rebecca Lewes, by her own admission, I don't know if it's true, but she said she sleeps with a married man, then sold her story to Edwards, then wonked off a pog, right? That's a hell of a CV, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to
that. That is amazing. I bet her nan's very, very proud of her.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't, just forget it. Don't get me started. I'll be watching every night for the next 10 weeks. You can't not. My adrenaline rushes, I'll just tune in to see. It's almost like you tune in to see which one gets hurt.
Yeah.
That's the thing,
isn't
it?
Emotionally scarred.
But maybe one of them will come through. We're going to find out that one of them was like, had a really, really bad childhood and we feel sorry for her for a little bit, you know. Like the Jade Goody syndrome or something. And, oh, God. Yeah. Then they release an exercise video. Oh, Carl. We've got to get you in on this. Oh, imagine Carl in Big Brother.
That would be a joy.
That would be amazing. But you turned on and you hated it, didn't you?
Yeah, I gave it, like, 3 minutes and it's gone. Yeah. There's always something better on, though. You annoy me, like, you watch it. You moan about it now, but you watch
it. I know.
There's always something better.
I really did not watch any of Celebrity Love. That was just too awful. I think the celebrities are worse than general public, though, to me, because if they're so desperate, they want 9 little bites of the cherry, and it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Well, at least these people, you know, they think that they're going to get out of their job they don't like, maybe, or, you know, it's sort of like... I give them their 15 minutes, but it's... Oh, God.
But there's always something... I mean, when we were out the other night, Steve, right, there's a programme on about a spider that's a foot long and eats chicken. No one's talking about it.
What do you mean? I'm sorry, I had to stand up because I thought it was going to explode. What do you mean there's a spider that's a foot long and eats chicken?
There was a programme on about how there's this spider in the jungle or something, but I missed it because it was out, but... No one's talking about that in the papers. That's a worry.
Why? In case it nicks your Sunday roast. What do you mean?
No, if it likes chicken there, Rick, you know, in like 2 years' time, who knows what it might
like. I know, it'd move up the evolutionary ladder, it'd start liking Carl, then humans.
I'm not about the chicken bit, because I eat chicken, that isn't that shocking, but the fact it's a foot long, and no one's, it's just on a Thursday night, no one's talking about it.
What do you expect, though? What do you expect from this? It's got its own PR. What do you want? What do you want this spider bee to be famous? Where is it?
It's in the jungle.
It's not worrying anyone, then, is it? It's not going to move. What do you mean?
What do you mean it's not going to move?
Well, how's it going to get here? Is it going to get on a bus?
There's waves and that, they come in bananas and all that. So, don't worry about it. So, I'm not actually going to be like that.
Anyway, listen, we better line up Babushka, we better play that surely, because I know you need to analyse those lyrics. That's very important to you, I know. We've still got that cork hitting.
Oh, cork on their head's going to be great. We're going to put his little head down and really give it a firing.
Sponsored by Lindau Sparkling.
Jess's Girl by Rick Springfield. And the reason I played that is twofold. One, it's one of the prizes we're giving away. It's an album called Rock Gods, and that's with a Z... Right? And an umlaut over the O. And it's got Kiss, Judas Priest, Deep Purple, The Darkness. It really is good. It's all your classic rock tracks. The other reason I want to play it is because I like that song. It's a great little uptempo bubblegum pop song, rock, you know, great. But it's got one of the worst lyrics in it. He's, you know, he's worried about bringing up the fact that he loves his girlfriend's, mate's girlfriend. And he goes, should I bring it up? He goes, I tell her that I love her, but the point may be moot.
Just we don't use that in a rock song. The point may be moot. Well, I was listening to Christian O'Connell on The Breakfast Show when he had this Bounty Hunter thing running a couple of weeks back. And I don't know what happened, but anyway, he ended up with Brian Adams in the studio doing a live session. Brian, you know, good natured or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can't help but feel with Brian that he thinks that he's Bruce Springsteen. But
yeah.
There's something wrong. I mean, he's got the voice and the guitar, he can play and everything. But yeah. There was a lyric, and he played it completely earnestly. And it was a session, and the lyric was something, it was from his recent album. And the lyric was along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was along the lines of, I'm sat in my hotel room, there's a knock at the door and I get kind of nervous. I'm hoping it's you, it's just room service. Which is extraordinary, but Christian came up with the best, they finished it, and obviously Christian's thinking, what did I say? And he came up with the best answer if you've had a session that you're not entirely convinced by. He just said quite simply, that sounded great.
That's good.
Which is amazing. That's who you're complimenting there, the engineer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, the sound recordist, what does that mean?
That's great.
That sounded great.
Yeah, good, we got some good mics.
Yeah.
Oh, Brian Adams. Is it true he bought the pub next door to him and closed it down because they were noisy?
I hope so.
Yeah, that's what money's for. Oh, that is what money's for, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely right.
Waking up the neighbours. That was his album, wasn't it?
That was right.
I don't know if that was before or after that, whether it was related or not.
Well, if you buy a house next to a pub, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So move, rather than ruining the fun for everyone.
It's more good advice from Carl Belkington. Carl, while we're talking to you, we should give these answers to Rockbusters. It's the big quiz. And, of course, the winner this week goes forward to play in the grand final in 6 weeks' time, where they get to win all those amazing gifts.
Signed Homer, drawn especially for Carl by Matt Groening. Nigel Tufnell signed rare poster. They're amazing. Should we give away a sort of maybe a original print, a behind the scenes of extras? We've got some amazing pictures, filming extras. I was thinking the other day, you know, like how excited I am to be with Carl and let off corks on his head. Well, our editor, long-suffering editor Nigel, we'd worked with Ben Stiller, Kate Winslet, Sam Jackson, all these people for 8 weeks. It was amazing. But my highlight, I thought about it, and my highlight was dressing Nigel up, our editor, in a baby grow.
Sure.
It was, I planned it, but we got the department, costume department hired it, and we dressed up, and it looked brilliant, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just,
is BBC licence fee money going towards you dressing up your editor. Because you didn't pay for it. The BBC paid for it, so that is how your money is being spent, people.
But it's available on the DVD again.
Exactly.
Nothing's wasted.
Which you have to buy for 15 quid. Sure.
It's the whole thing is one big reality game show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Give us the clue.
I haven't got an idea. Go on, give me the clue then again.
Right, well, do you want to say who the winner is? Or
no, let's hear the answer.
First clue was, if you get a bulb when it's young, you look after it and that, you teach it stuff.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Go on.
The initial was R.
Yeah.
Right, that was razor light. All right?
Razor light.
Okay.
Kind of works.
Yeah, second it didn't matter what sort of bulb it was then.
It was very specific.
Put it in mind. Go on.
People have a problem doing this when they get home from a night out drinking.
Yeah.
What's the problem they're having? They have a problem getting the key in.
That's awful.
Words.
That doesn't count. Keen.
Right.
It's keen. Keen. This one's awful. Awful.
I had a vision of that Chinese flu.
Yeah.
That the initial I was C. That was Caesar's. Caesar's. They managed to get that as well.
I love the fact that even he knows they managed to get that as well. Did anyone get all three?
Yeah, a few people.
That's terrible. Okay, who was the first one?
I don't know what it says about XFM and its listeners that people are getting these answers, right?
I know. Go on, then.
I mean, horrific. But anyway, we're going to give it, and he goes forward, as I say, for the big prizes in 6 weeks' time. It's Paul in Bookham. Well done.
Paul Bookham, but also he does get the complete series of Alias, League of Gentlemen, that Rock Gods album. So, you know, it's pretty good for Open Water on DVD and a chance to win all those prizes. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Coming up next, a cork smacking a bald man on the bonce really hard.
London, it's your city.
XFM 104.9 playing Green Day. The studio's falling apart.
I know, his microphone broke. Then mine broke.
Rick, I don't know why Lindauer's, the sparkling wine, want to be associated with this shambles of a show.
It is falling apart. This is awful, this studio. It's got to be fixed. Right? Right, now, Carl, come round here. It's time where I'm going to let a cork off. Do you want to film this, Steve?
Yeah,
that'll be available on the website next week, BookieGervais.com. So see Carl getting hit. One bloke suggested we leave the metal cap on because it's get a better pitch. Mm-hmm. But we're taking that.
He's saying,
let's get the camera ready.
Get the camera ready. Ready?
So if you've just joined us, we are using some Lindauer's sparkling wine to basically, well, what can I say, really? Fire a cork at Carl's round
right, ready?
Head.
Ready?
Hang on a sec, let me just put the headphones on.
Right, film this then. Okay. He's in position, look.
Just firing up.
Okay, Carl, come on there so we can see your head a little bit. We want to get the noise, the microphone there. Right, ready? Hold on.
Good. So you're just doing it.
Hold on. Now, it's in position. What have you... Oh. Ready?
Yep.
Oh, God, it... Oh!
Oh, it's like Jackass.
Did it hurt? What do you mean, did it hear you?
I went off course,
did it? Just glanced, did it?
Right, Lindauer, you're going to send us 8 more bottles, please.
Yeah,
we're going to get this right.
Homesick. Kings of Convenience. Beautiful.
Yeah,
on XFM 104.9. Well, that's nearly the end of our first of 6 shows, our summertime special.
Some of the highlights, Rick, so far today. I don't know what you've made of it.
Finger at the arse,
testicles early on.
Orientals don't age very well.
Bit of racism
with the Germany's full of cants.
Yeah, that was on
the list. That isn't swearing. Cork on the head, got champagne down the electrical works. So good. Just the finale is it's monkey news, obviously.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, chimpanzee, that monkey news, yeah.
There isn't. I've been away, haven't I?
Oh, there's been no monkey news. You can't get...
No, but I haven't had a proper chance to sort of, you know...
Carl, your monkey news is of spurious tales from the 17th century sometimes. So let's have one of those.
Let's have a monkey who
dressed as Zorro and they thought he was a woodsman, but when they took his head off, he was a 4-foot hairy chimp. Let's have one of those ridiculous stories.
Well, we've done that, though. But do you want to go back on some of the ones? Oh,
for just what is the monkey news? There must have been some monkey news this week.
The only thing that sort of stood out, do you know, like, they're having problems...
You're just making this up! Where's your information? Where's the piece of paper? Where's the document? What is this?
Because I've been away, so I haven't got anything...
Right, let's hear it.
When he's reading it, he gets it wrong. When he's just riffing, it's going to be absolute twaddle.
Let's hear it out.
Right, do you know, like, they're having problems getting new people to be policemen?
Go on.
They've, in America... They're taking them on to, sort of, join the SWAT team.
They've taken what on?
Some little monkeys.
Okay.
Giving them walkie-talkies and all that. And,
Well, they can't talk.
They're just walkies.
Yeah, giving them some walkies. What do you mean?
Being given commands and that. And,
so it's one way. They tell them. They've got the little thing strapped to them.
They're good at, like... Getting into small places and that, and sort of, you know, cracking stuff and all that. Like I say, it's just half a story I just picked up on.
That's not a story.
Well, what do you want?
Monkey news.
Well, I'll get some better stuff next week. But I've literally got up a plane.
This is the worst. This is one of the worst shows we've ever done.
And that's saying something, Rick. We've done some tripe.
This is nothing. And to end with, the police in America have given monkeys walkie-talkies. That's nothing. That is a disgrace.
And what do you mean that you've not had enough time to prepare? We've been off air for 18 months.
Yeah.
What, there's been no accumulated monkey news in that time?
It's got to keep it fresh, though, hasn't it?
Great, well, what time do you... XFM.